Thank you guys so much for tuning in. This is episode one of the return of Coaching Connections with Marcus Alvarado. I'm so glad to be back. If you take a look back at the screen, I was looking at the intro from the very first episode we ever shot during COVID of Coaching Connections. We had Coach Rodney Clark and Coach Mark Gardner. So for today's episode, while we're bringing Coaching Connections back, we're also bringing Rodney Clark back, have a little bit of life updates and see how his career has been going since that interview. But before we get there, and before we get to any episode interview, we do want to start the show with a new segment called The Coach's Office. So The Coach's Office is basically coach talk. I'm going to bring coaches in. We're going to talk about current events in the NBA, NCAA, high school, AAU, whatever may be going on at the time. Break down some X's and O's, different perspectives that people may or may not get to see on a daily basis. I'm super excited to get started, y'all. Welcome back. The show is going to be amazing. We got a full season on slate. I can't wait to bring it out for you guys. Let's go.
It's called Coaching Connection. It's called Coaching Connection. It's called Coaching Connection.
Welcome to the Coach's Office.
So our very first segment of the Coach's Office. I got my good friend, Coach Ernest Lopez, man. It's a pleasure to have you come by the house and stop by and share a little bit about hoops with us.
Yeah, man, I'm just happy to be here. Happy that you care enough about what I think to put me on your podcast. And, you know, I can share some of my insights with you. And I'm happy to hear what you've got to say on some things.
Don't use the word care with too much emphasis, all right? Be humble. No, I'm kidding. You know, but no, I'm glad you're here. Just be yourself. Just pretend we're at work. Well, don't pretend we're at work because then you let some bad words fly. But just be comfortable, all right?
Yeah, we're in the office.
You know, but let's start off right out the gate and talk about NCAA women's hoops. You're a girls coach. You coach teenage high school girls in the game of basketball. And you have a pretty talented squad. You know, but what I like the most in terms of the girls game is just how powerful the movement is right now. I think what Caitlin Clark is doing at Iowa, what Dawn Staley's doing with her squads, and just the vibe that you're getting from the girls' game is so impactful for young women aspiring to do the same thing. So talk to me a little bit about what it's meant to a team like yours.
Yeah, this is something we talk about all the time as a coaching staff. I have 4 coaches on my staff, and we talk about women's basketball in general, you know, often. And this last weekend, we got to see some incredible basketball, right, from Caitlin Clark and Angel Reese and the South Carolina team. And, you know, just being able to see the impact that the women's college basketball game is having on my young high school girls and the trickle-down effect it's having has been incredible. You know, girls basketball has changed completely in the last 10, 15 years, you know, since I was in high school and maybe even further back when you were in high school. Way further back, you know, but it's changed. It's, you know, girls can do incredible moves. Passing is, you know, they got next level vision, you know, things that we've never seen before. And Caitlin Clark is, you know, unique in all of her own skill and being able to pull up from the logo and
the range,
one legged threes, the passing ability, the curling ability, the fundamental ability that she has. I mean, we watch her all the time. It's been, you know, to see it almost, you know, the ratings came back recently, right? And ratings for women's college basketball games were just as high as NBA games and just as high as the men's college basketball game. And, you know, and I think it has a lot to do with the fact that the college athletes are staying.
Yeah.
Right? You get to know them. We've seen Caitlin Clark on TV for 3-4 years now. We've seen Angel Reese for the last couple of years. Dawn Staley's a brand in her own right. Gino Auriemma's a brand in his own right. And all these things are coming to fruition now. And we get a chance to stick with these ladies and coaches and get to know them. And now it's, you know, we're waiting for the Iowa South Carolina game, the LSU South Carolina game.
I'm tuned in and I'm a boys coach, right? But and I watch all sports all the time, but I say LSU is about to play whoever, right? Put it on LSU, South Carolina. Put that. That's must watch. Like, you got to watch it.
Yeah,
like, you got to watch it.
You have to. It's you're going to be missing the office talk if you don't watch the game.
Yeah, so, you're left out of the bubble.
Yeah. So that's how excited we are about it. You know, we even get to see somebody like Sabrina Ionescu, who's putting out her own shoe now, and my girls are going to the store and wanting to buy her shoes.
My boys are going to the store and buying her shoes.
And you know, I don't know if that's, I don't remember that happening recently or
where. I don't know if it's ever happened.
A shoe was cool enough for to transcend boys and women's teams. But it's happening right now, and it's a fun time to be a women's basketball coach.
And I think, too, the one of the most important things is that the mainstream media, sports channels, podcast people, they're all talking about it, and they're putting them in the forefront and highlighting the talent that these girls have. I think one of the coolest things I saw recently was the Sabrina versus Steph three-point shootout. Like, that was the, no offense to anybody dunking the ball, but the Sabrina versus Steph stole the show for me. And you know how we play. We grew up where we grew up, and we shoot a lot of threes. So watch the best at what they do just make shot after shot. It's fun to watch. And then for them to highlight Sabrina at the men's All-Star game, I thought was pretty awesome.
Yeah, she got some attention that she's probably never would have dreamed that she would have got. You know, and I think a lot of it had to do with you know, one of our favorite players, Kobe.
Yeah.
Right? Kobe having the impact on her and – you know, his daughter, and then him believing in the women's game, you know, kind of pushed that forward, I think, even more than maybe we even thought.
For sure.
Because now we're watching it on men's All-Star games.
Yeah. Speaking of Kobe, I got like 30 pairs of Kobe's.
A lot of Kobe's.
Now, we love Kobe. We love Kobe. And what he's meant to the women's game before he passed and what he probably envisioned it growing into, it's beautiful to watch it grow and come to fruition with these women players. And so their NIL deals that some of these college girls are making are, it's almost like, I'm going to stay all 4 years. There's no need to go to the WNBA right now because I'm making a killing. And so I'm happy for them. I truly am.
Yeah, it's awesome. Like I said, it gives a role model to my high school athletes. They get to turn on the TV, see somebody that they want to be like. They get to copy somebody's moves that, you know, moves like them. And then, you know, obviously putting the women's game has less athleticism than the men's game. And sometimes that lends itself to being, you have to be a little bit more skilled to get your shot off, to get your, to come off of a screen, and the mental side of the basketball has to be there. You have to have great footwork. And it's easy as a coach to grab clips now and show them, hey, this is what we got to do.
So Sabrina does.
Yeah,
that's what Caitlin's doing.
Exactly. Yeah. What Sabrina's
and
doing.
And we can't forget about Paige Beckers, who's kind of like.
Yeah, she's been hurt in the last couple of years.
And so, but God bless, she's a killer, you know. And once she gets healthy again, she's going to be right back in the mix with some of those girls because she can freaking hoop.
Yeah. I mean, and there's that. You're just adding names to the list of incredible players over and over again. And, you know, you look at somebody like Maya Moore in the WNBA, and her record is something crazy in the WNBA. I mean, it's incredible. You just keep adding name after name to the list, and, you know, highlight reel after highlight reel grabs attention. And I mean, it's a great time.
You know, Caitlin Clark breaks the all-time NCAA scoring record, first amongst women, right?
Mm-hmm.
Kelsey Plum's record, and then goes and breaks the men's record. And I think the whole world was rooting for it the whole time. I literally ordered a shirt that said, you know, you break it, you own it.
Oh, man, like, I ordered the same one.
Yeah, no, it's dope.
All right,
it's,
now hey, I get to wear it.
Don't
wear it
to work on the same day. No. But, like, that's the effect and the impact that they're having, you know. All right, so quick change of pace. Let's talk a little NBA talk. You know, we're born and raised in San Antonio, Texas. For those that don't know, we are diehard Spurs fans. Win, lose, or draw. Talk to me about Wimby real quick. What are your thoughts on Wimby?
Oh, man, he's an alien. Isn't
right?
He?
Literally. He's an alien.
He's not real. I was lucky enough to get the chance to see him up close and personal.
Oh, hold up. Don't let this guy fool you. I'm going to lay it out for you. He was sitting second row to watch the battle of the Greek gods of Wimby and Giannis Antetokounmpo go at it here in San Antonio. And then he kind of, Giannis dove in the stands and he went and touched him on the shoulder one time. He was talking
TNT.
About it for like 2 weeks there.
It's on TNT, so, anymore. You know, I'll show anybody that wants to see it. But, yeah, I was lucky enough to see them up close and personal, Giannis and Wimby, going head-to-head. And I've never seen anything like the two of them. And I think Wimby is even more unique than Giannis is. I think, you know, it was just incredible. I think I told you we went to the office and you were like, man, what was it like yesterday? And I said, well, I just saw Wimby pick up a basketball from the floor that I would have never thought that a human could reach. And he just reached down and grabbed it.
They didn't really bend over.
Yeah, and two players were chasing the ball, and he just got to it first. And it was incredible. I mean, you know, he's a once-in-a-lifetime talent. I'm glad that we got him. I'm happy that we got him. You know, I know the process is in place now. He's learning at 19 years old. I could barely put both of my shoes on at the same time and give a nice knot. So, yeah. You know, this kid's in the NBA scoring on LeBron James and Anthony Davis and playing Giannis Antetokounmpo in front of me and 20,000 fans. And, you know, he's on the right track and he's on his way. And obviously we trust in the leadership. And well, I'm just excited to see what he turns into because we're seeing glimpses of it every other night with an outrageous stat line.
And so I feel like every night you see him, again, I mean, I know it's all over the Sports Center and the media, but we live here, so we see it every day. And the algorithms on our Twitter probably show nothing but Spurs stuff. So every night he does something that's just like, I've never seen that before. How did he, like last night he did a little spin move and he just grabbed the ball and dunked it like it was a Fisher Price goal on two guys. Like, unreal to see the kind of things that he does with the ball. But I'm excited for his growth. But for me personally, I think one of the most unique qualities, especially at his age, is the mental he's got, right? The self-awareness and the ability to process what's around him and what's going on and not and whether he's affected by the outside influences or not. He doesn't seem to be fazed by it, at least what he displays to the world. You know, he has a pretty good grasp on who he is, it seems. And I think that's one of the most important attributes he has.
Yeah, well, he's been in the spotlight for a long time, you know, and I think his parents and his family are grounded him pretty well from what we see and what we've heard from him. And then obviously he's got one of the most experienced basketball minds in the world to lean back on. So there's not a lot of situations that Coach Pop hasn't seen.
Yeah,
losing seasons, winning seasons. He's got to coach a top five player of all time. You know, great drafts, bad drafts. I mean, Coach Pop has seen it all. So I think that that's a big crutch for him to lean on in times when he may be just a 19, 20-year-old kid in this first season. You know, he has years and years of experience to rely on.
You know, just talking about good drafts, top five player of all time, Tim Duncan in San Antonio is probably our GOAT. And when you talk about GOATs, you know, the whole world may or may not agree. But I heard a clip today on another show. They were talking about he's saying how Tim Duncan was just silently killing him. And it was old Tim Duncan. It wasn't even young Tim Duncan. But what does Tim Duncan mean to you?
Oh, man, what does he mean to me? I mean, growing up in San Antonio, we got used to playoff success, right? I could plan a July and say, hey, we're going to be watching Spurs games at this place or at my house or your house. And you could repeatedly plan on that every single year. And Tim Duncan, the way he behaved and handled himself, again, you know, we're in the locker room every day. We see different personalities, and having somebody that you can refer back to that did it the right way. Yeah. Right? You got plenty of examples of people that did it the wrong way. Having somebody that you can say, hey, he did it the right way. He had success. He has, you know, everything else that everybody else has accolade wise. And he did it the right way. And I mean, that's huge for us. That's huge for Wemby to have in his corner too.
Yeah, you know, for sure.
You know, I'm sure Tim's been around often and Monter's been around often.
David,
guys that you can just, the character is unmatched, right? Guys you would probably trust watching your own kid, right? And that's almost what he is right now, right? 19, 20-year-old kid.
Let me make a proposal. David Robinson, Manu Ginobili, or Tim Duncan. If any of you guys want to watch our kids, you're more than welcome to do so.
Yeah.
We definitely trust.
We can watch Wemby.
Yeah.
We can watch Wemby.
Yeah, we'll take care of Wemby. you come and watch our kids for a little bit. You can play the Xbox or whatever you want to do.
Yeah.
I tell people all the time that aren't from San Antonio that we're fortunate to have a class act in an organization like the Spurs as coaches to kind of watch and model. And what are some of the things that you've taken from Coach Pop in terms of being a high school basketball coach, things that you try to emulate and implement in your program?
Well, you know, the funny thing about that is for the last couple of years, we've been pretty talented on our team. And, you know, they did the Champions Revealed show on YouTube.
Yeah.
You know, it's like an hour and a half of the big three and Pop just sitting down and talking. And, man, they covered so much in that hour and a half that I've sound bit, you know, on a pregame talk or when we're watching film and I want to push a message through about ball movement, about not caring about who scores. It's like, I just got to turn that on for 5 minutes, pick a 2 minute segment that I want. And it's easy to describe and easy to elaborate on, because they went right through it the entire way. And, I mean, it's just an idol, right? You hope somebody talks about you one day the same way that those guys talk about him. So, I mean, that's what he means to me. The greatest coach of all time to me.
And it's good to have that reference back, especially as a coach, because the success is there. It doesn't lie. Like, what happened when you do stuff the right way, you know, it shows for itself. So anyway, that's all we got today for the coach's office. We appreciate you guys for taking the time. And following this segment, we got our interview with Coach Rodney Clark from Wagner High School. It's a great time. Be sure to check it out.
It's called Coaching in Action. It's called Coaching in Action.
Beautiful horses, man.
Funny story about this horse.
Okay.
I sold her to these people. Where are they at? Lavernia? They were in Lavernia.
Lavernia?
So I sold her. And so his wife wanted a horse. So he goes and he gets his horse and sends me a picture. I was like, yeah, like that horse looked like the one I said, what's her name? It says Scarlet. I was like,
Scarlet.
That's my horse.
Full circle moment. Yeah, it came right back to the family.
It was crazy. And she's a thoroughbred mix.
But so I don't know much about horses, but
thoroughbreds are like, you know, the ones that are in the races that go around, you know, however many times. They're fast. That's a quarter horse. The ones that usually use the roping and stuff like that. They're the ones, if you ever go to Rotama, the ones that just do like that one little lap.
That's the one.
Yeah.
We still recording, Ari? She's my producer. Look at her. Look at her. The attitude. I love it. I love it. Your daughter's right?
Yeah.
You know what that's like. What's the...
yeah, I do.
All right, first, let me just say I appreciate you, Rodney. You know, the first episode we ever shot on Coaching Connections, you were literally the first person I called first time.
Yeah.
So I thought, man, it's only right as we bring it back, man, I got to call my guy Rodney Clark, you know, and see if he's down. And so I appreciate you taking the time.
I appreciate you.
I know we already said what's up, but
I appreciate you.
So how are things going, man?
They're going good. You know, just we had a good run this year. Got to the regional tournament, first one since, I think, 2020. When that state champion or state tournament got canceled, and I got seven back
next year.
Yeah, I got seven back. And only two juniors from this year will be seniors.
Nice.
So, I mean, we just got to get back to work.
Tell us right now about where we're at right now.
We are kind of in between Lavernia and Floresville.
Okay,
it's out in the country.
Out in the country.
You know, it's calm and collected out here.
No, I love it.
You can actually think.
Me and my wife, we moved to the country for that reason.
Yeah,
I mean,
you kind of disappear from the everyday.
Neighborhood looks a little bit like this, you know, just out in Italia. But, you know, just you see the stars at night.
Yep.
You get to relax. You know, it's the job gets stressful for us. And I'm sure the wives in the same boat. And so sometimes you just sit outside and just don't even talk. You just look.
Yes, exactly.
You know, it's peaceful for sure.
Exactly.
You know, so between this place and then your spot where the horses are, now, why are these spots important to you?
Just because we kind of grew up around the stuff. We didn't really get into it until later on, like after college. It's just kind of like a family thing for me, you know. When my dad started kind of getting into horses with my older brother, you know, we would go out there and feed and stuff like that, and you know, we just stuck. And once I got into it, I just got into it. You know, I tried to rope a little bit, you know.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
It, okay.
it requires a lot of time, so you can't coach and do that.
And technique, that sounds hard.
It is. It is. It's not an easy task. But, you know, it's one of those things where, just like when you're a player, you got to go every day if you want to get better.
Yeah.
Well, coaching, you get done at 6. There's no way my wife's going to let me go to the roping pen at, you know, 7 o'clock and stay till 10 every night.
It's not that working. Yeah.
So, you know, I got a roping dummy at the house that I, you know.
Mess around with a little bit.
Yeah, a little bit. But
I know you're probably like me and most coaches. You know, we do this because we still have that competitive fire and that competitive edge. So, like, I'd imagine if you were going to try to do that, you'd want to do it and compete and be good at it.
Exactly.
And it takes time, so you may as well just not even do it.
Exactly.
You know, I got invited last night to play in the men's league, and I haven't played in a men's league game in over a year. And I remember why. You start playing and the competitive juices come out. Like, man, I'm too old for this. I got a career. I ain't trying to mess around and get all aggressive.
Right.
And then,
with me, like, I never played in a men's league after I left college because, you know, I took a break for a while out of all the basketball. And then I tried to play one day up at, I think it was Planet Fitness. I don't know. I wasn't Planet Fitness. It was I don't remember the name of that gym, but wherever it was, I went in there. I couldn't jump like I used to. And my big thing was I used my athleticism in order to get to my spots and whatever else. Couldn't do it. So I said, nope.
I'm done.
So I just, you know, I get out there and get with the boys sometimes. And, you know, I don't play defense. I just install offense.
It saves energy for offense. You can't shoot. I literally told my wife the same thing last night. I was like, you know, I can't waste my energy. I only got so much left.
Yeah.
You know? That's funny. Well, I'm glad we're out here, man. I appreciate you inviting me out. It's
no
like, you know, as coaches, we have lives. We got families. We've got passion, roping, horses, you know, other things that we're passionate about outside the gym and our programs. And we spend so much time doing what we do as coaches. You know, I wanted to use this opportunity to highlight people.
Right.
And just find out what they're passionate about and let the world know that, man, we're human. The coaches are human, right? I know we look like maybe not, you know.
Especially game night.
Yeah, especially on game or the day after the game, especially if you don't win. You know, but coaches are human and they're good people. They're just trying to do right by kids.
Right.
And there's things that they sacrifice, like roping. Like, I didn't know that about you, right? You know, if you weren't coaching, you'd probably spend some time at the rodeo.
Oh, yeah.
Getting down.
You know, yeah, I would.
Not state champ Rodney Clark, you know, rodeo champ.
Right. Well, I don't know about that, but I would try. You know, I'd try.
No, for sure. So I just wanted to take this opportunity to highlight those attributes for these coaches. So it's a family thing. What about your wife and whatnot? Does she come out here and partake in these?
They come out here a little bit. You know, she's not as big into it as I am. Her mom does have a 35-acre horse ranch
out
in Yancey.
Okay.
You know, and her dad's properties in Doss, Texas, out there past Floresville.
Okay.
He got acreage out there, you know. So she grew up around all this stuff. And now what I try to do, my older kids, you know, when I first got into it, and I was heavy into the horse and stuff like that. They were always at the pen with me or whatever else. My daughter started riding when she was 3, you know. And so she was like, she'd jump on any horse or whatever else, just get on and just go. Scared me a couple times, you know, but she didn't have any fear.
Fearless.
Trying to get the other ones into it. I just don't spend as much time out there as, you know, as I used to with them. But, you know, my little ones love it too. I think they love more just to being out there, you know, and just being free.
No,
know?
For sure.
My son can play in the dirt and jump in puddles, even though my wife don't like it, you know, he comes home dirty.
Builds
sometimes
up the immune system.
You know what I'm saying? You know, he picked up what he thought was a rock one time, but it was a horse apple, which is.
Yeah,
Yeah.
Real quick, my wife's been bugging. I know she's going to see this, but she's like, I want a horse. I'm like, you don't even know how to take care of a horse. We don't know nothing about taking care of horses. So we settled for big dogs. We got some giant dogs.
Yeah.
Just got a puppy the other day.
Oh, really?
Another Cane Corso.
Ooh.
And so she's solid. She's going to be big.
Same color?
She's more of a brownish, brindle-ish, but dark, still with the dark mask.
Yeah.
She's beautiful. But any advice to my wife that wants to buy a horse and we don't know how to take care of no dang horse?
It's just like a kid, you know, just depending.
Yeah.
And feed is not cheap.
No.
Feed and hay ain't cheap.
Maintaining the feed of the horses.
If she wants to do all that, and then you got to go to the vet. You know, that's not a cheap task. It's not, you know, it's fun, but it's it can consume you, especially if you get into it. I got in this one year. I got like a, I call it a horse addiction. At one point, I lived out in Floresville, on 10 acres. I had, how many horses? I think I had 8 horses, a steer, and 2 goats.
Really?
Yeah.
I'm going to stick with the dog. I'm going to convince you to stay with the dogs.
Because you get addicted, you know. Some of us do.
Yeah, no.
Because you see something like, oh man. And like the horses I have, I like color in my horse. So like the one I have now, he's a quarter horse, but he's an Appaloosa.
Okay.
Right? That's just the color. Gotcha. You know, he's like dark and then he kind of speckles out.
Oh, that's dope. Yeah, I've seen horses like that.
I've had all kind of paint horse and stuff like that. I'm not a solid color horse.
Gotcha. You know, everybody's got their preference and their taste. Like
weird looking horses. That's what people tell me.
My uncles were big into horses. My dad had his way. We would have grew up in the country my whole life, you know. But so when I was young, he'd buy me the Wranglers and the boots and the hat. And I'd be fighting him tooth and nail. I'm not wearing this. I'm a hooper, Dad. I'm a hooper. Hey, I need some basketball shorts. And so we'd always, you know, but now as an adult, you know, you got to mix it up and got to have a little bit of both.
Yeah.
Right. But I never got into the horses the way my uncle's really big into horses.
Yeah.
He's like, you got a little bit of land now. Let's go put a horse out there. I'm like, I'm good. And don't say that around my wife because she's going to take you up on that. So a little bit of hoops. Now, I know you mentioned you guys had a pretty good year. Talk to me about your season.
You know, I still had a bunch of young guys. I think it was... I know I had one freshman, but I have four or five sophomores, 2 juniors, and 3 seniors. They were all on varsity last year, except for the freshmen. So they had a year of experience, you know, to kind of gauge what it's like for the physicality and speed of varsity play.
Different.
This year, you could tell they jumped a little bit, you know, between, you know, getting stronger, more mature. You know, we had a rocky up and down season. We get to district, and by the second game of district, I'm down like 3 starters due to injury. You know, the whole district season, you know, I had anywhere between 3 and 4 guys that were out a game, you know, and guys that, you know, wanted to be in the game and should have been in the game. We played vets the second time. I only had 2 guys that have played big minutes, the freshmen, and then 2 other guys that were kind of like coming off the bench, 7th, 8th guys.
Yeah.
And then I pulled up a JV kid. Well, 2, but 1, he didn't really play much. But the other one, that's all I had against vets the second time. Like at half court during warm-ups, and I counted those 5 guys that were out, it's like 40 points. 40, 50 points.
She's got to try to find a way to make up.
You know?
Yeah.
And, you know, that's just, I think it helped those guys grow because they had to pull all the weight.
Yeah.
They didn't, you know, couldn't get subs because at one point I was only subbing 5 guys. I just had 5 guys. That was it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the 6th guy that I had, he was a JV kid. I was like, not today, not this game. But, you know, that's just the kind of season we had. And then they kind of pulled it together. Everybody got a little bit healthier towards the end. And they got in the playoffs, and they just they started believing in what we were telling them.
Clicking at the right time.
At the exact right time, you know. And we beat some teams that, hey, we were an underdog until we played Vela. Well, in my opinion, you know, other people had their things about, you know, Vela, which, you know, Vela's a good team. They're
absolutely
well coached. You know, they had seniors. You know, they had the experience and they wanted to win.
Experience goes a long way. I don't think people realize the importance, even though the talent might be there, But being there, even just in a varsity game period, you know, I mean, we were young, very, very young this year. Mm-hmm. Had really one guy on the team with playing experience. And then we had a couple guys on the team that you sprinkle in a little bit of minutes last year, and everybody else was pretty much brand new to game experience and trying to learn on the fly. So it was, you know, but I think having them all back next year, it's going to pay its dividends.
It is,
for sure.
You know, and then, you know, hopefully some of the younger guys, they see it. And I think the guys that are coming back now, they really, really understand, like, oh, man, if we play hard and we defend and we just are tough and compete, we can do this, you know. And I think, you know, because for a while, the defensive intensity and stuff that, you know, that we're known for at Wagner kind of fell off a little bit, you know, after COVID for about 3-4 years.
Yeah.
And so we're trying to build all that back.
Takes time.
Yeah. And I think, you know, it it showed, you know, when we started the playoffs, that first game we played Glenn, like that's probably one of the better defensive games we've played. You know, the kids bought in and they just competed. And, you know, I think we got enough coming back that they understand now that, hey, if we do this, we're going to win. And now they understand what it takes to win.
Yeah.
As, like, last year, all them freshmen I had and, you know, the sophomores and juniors I had last year, they didn't understand what it took to win games after district.
Yeah.
You know, they would win one, then lose the second. We lost in the second round 2 years in a row. And it finally starting to click, so... You know, I think, you know, hopefully for the next 2 years, even though that district we're in is tough.
Oh, my God.
I think we'll be okay because now we have experience also.
For sure. So the last time we got the time to talk, you guys made it to state. And then COVID shut it down. And it was painful. You know, listening to you and Mark Gardner talk about it, you know, not getting a chance to play it.
Right.
Because that experience doesn't come all the time,
no,
right?
It does not.
You know, and you don't want to take it for granted. You know, does that, I know at the time it was really, really painful, but does it hurt any less several years down the line?
No, it does not. Not at all. You know, it still hurts the same. I think, you know, and I'm sure that everybody that went to state that year, especially in 5A, thought that it was their year. You know what I'm saying? Because those four teams, I mean, it was a good group. I don't remember who all it was.
But good even match. Group.
Yeah. And I just think, you know, the way my guys had been playing and just the camaraderie and everything else, I think that they were focused. And I think we really had a legit shot, you know. But, like, you know, it still hurts. Because I can still see going back in there, everybody's in the locker room about to get on the bus. The parents are outside, you know, all kinds of stuff. And I can still remember going there and telling them that it got canceled and just the look on their face. You know what I'm saying?
That's heartbreaking.
Yeah, you know, like, you know, I had been, you know, 2 or 3 times before and then twice when Ellis was there. So, like, I got it. But, like, some of the ones that didn't get to go, like, a couple years before or whatever else, they don't get to experience that.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So
going in the dome.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
It's a whole different vibe.
Yes.
So you've been five times?
Yeah.
That's pretty awesome. Congrats on that. A lot of people don't ever make it throughout their career. So to be able to say I've been there 5 times, that's a big accomplishment.
You know, people, you know, when you lose at state, you know, everybody's like, well, you know, not everybody gets a chance. At the moment when, like, I don't want to hear that. Like, yeah,
for sure.
Okay, that's fine, but I still think we had chances to win all 3 times we went to the finals and just didn't get it done. So I'm taking it hard on me. Like, what could I, you know, just coaching
absolutely
stuff. Like,
absolutely,
what could I have done? What adjustments didn't I make? Or should I have called a timeout when Timberview was up 22-4 or whatever it was? You know? You know? But, now, looking back at it afterwards or whatever, like, yeah, shit. It's hard for you to get once unless you just have a string of, like, guys coming through.
It's nonstop.
Yeah. But, like, to be able to go to the finals 3 times, you know, not just, like, to win one at state and get to go back that Saturday.
Yeah.
You know, that's an amazing feeling. you know, when you go out. Like the first time we go play Keller and we win, we're going out to play Cy Falls that next night. And while we're coming out, dang, what's his name? Danny Green is there. Mm. And there's a guy, I don't know, I can't remember the guy's name that he was with, but I shook his hand, whatever else, go get him, whatever else. Danny Green, I give him dap, and he said, bring it back home. I said, oh, yeah.
No pressure.
But
from the Spurs, probably the Spurs at the time, right?
Yes, yeah, he was. I said, all right, thanks. There you go. I'll do what I can.
I keep that in mind, man. I'm going to try my best.
But it's just, it's great coming out of the tunnel. Then when you come out and you just hear and see everybody there, you know, taking pictures and just the roar of the crowd, like it's electrifying. It really is, you know. And for, you know, some people, like when it's your first time, I can see how that can be overwhelming, because the first time as a head coach, you know, like I was like, oh man, like this is big.
I'm a little nervous.
You know, being the first assistant, you know, when Ellis was there, it's on him. You know, it's not on me, but going out there, like you got that pressure, and then some of the guys, you know, you could see it in their face, like, you know, they've never played anything like this, or like. But yeah, it's great. It's a great feeling. I'm glad I'm part of the club.
Well, that's good, man. It's always nothing but love and respect for what you've done at Wagner. You know, but before you got there, you were a middle school girls B team basketball coach.
Yeah.
Just real briefly, tell me about that. How
was
the
good thing is that we won district.
There you go.
Know, we won district, and it was different. I think it because when I first started teaching, I had already been teaching two and a half years, and then the principal found out that I played in college. Mm-hmm. And so they had some coaches leaving, and you know, if there's somebody at the school, they always try to ask, especially middle school.
Yeah.
I didn't want to do the boys, because at that point in time, Northside was in the district with Del Rio. Mm-hmm. And so they were sending the middle school coaches
to scout
on Thursday nights and stuff. I said, nah, I'm not doing that.
Yeah.
You know, I said, nah, I'm not doing that because I want to scout. He said, well, what about the girls? I'm like, what? But he was in a bind, so I was like, all right, I'll do it. And it was a humbling experience, and it got my competitive juices flowing.
Yeah.
And so while we're there at the end of the year, Wagner is about to be built. And so I called Coach Arnold, you know, and he was the athletic director at the time, and I asked him, you know, who's going to be the coach at Wagner, whatever else. Well, he said Cliff Ellis. I said, do you think, you know, you can set something up so we can talk or whatever else? Well, we go, and my interview, right, they have a summer league game at Judson, and Cliff's working the door, you know, taking money and stuff. And so he has a chair right there, and we talk about this and that. And the way he's talking, he's like, yeah, and so what I would need you to do, I'm like, what? I'm like, what do you mean? And so afterwards, he shakes my hand or whatever else. He said, hey, go talk to Coach Gibbons. He's going to be the athletic coordinator and head coach at Wagner. So go talk to him tomorrow, this time, whatever else. I was like, what? So
a little confused.
Little did I know, I pretty much already had the job before I went over there.
Yeah.
And I guess they just wanted to do the, you know, the
formality.
Yeah. And so I talked to him. I went and talked to Coach Gibbons. And then I talked to the principal, and, you know, he was asking me, so I think we're going to put you here and this and that. I'm like, what? I was like, oh, okay. Yeah, that's it.
Easiest job interview ever.
Yeah. There was no stress in it. Now, the job interview for the head job, now, that was
stressful.
Oh, yeah. That was nerve-wracking.
I remember my days, too. I remember not knowing what to expect. I've been in job interviews before.
Right.
But when I walked in, it was like 10 people in there. I was like, I only brought six portfolios. You have to share this. You got mine. There's seven.
Yeah, that was crazy. That was crazy.
You know, we talk a little bit about the season, right? But unless you win state, everybody ends the season with a loss. in the playoffs, right? You know, beginning of the year, you know, even now in the spring, you got aspirations for next year, yeah. What you want the team, the vision. You start planning, working towards it, summer times, putting in all the hours. You come back in the fall, you're seeing where you're at in accordance to your vision, and you make adjustments, and then you get prepared for your season. And then, you know, unless we win a state championship, everybody falls short. And along the way, you got big games, rivalry games, big moments. Even like for us, the Harlan-McCullum rivalry game is insane, right? You know, and then you get to the playoffs and you fall short of your goal. And I think what people fail to realize, unless you're in it, is that feeling, that gut-wrenching feeling that you have immediately because you're on a high. I mean, you are just, you know, on top of the world. And then out of nowhere, it's all gone. And you start doubting, right? You start thinking about what you could have done. So, you know, for those people that have never experienced that feeling, you know, how would you describe that gut-wrenching feeling you feel of disappointment following a big loss?
Well, for me, it kind of depends on my kids and the effort. Like, did we lose the game or did we get beat? Mm-hmm. You know, like, if I feel that our kids were ready to play from jump ball to the finish and they gave everything they did, that is, like, that's the probably one of the worst feelings you can have because you feel you let those kids down. Mm-hmm. You know, even though you didn't play, but it's like you start getting in your head like, man, should we have done this? Should we have done that or whatever else? You know, should I let him shoot this shot instead of this guy? You know, just all kinds of stuff that you start thinking. So for me, it doesn't hurt me because I don't have the ego of like, I am the greatest. Mm-hmm. Like, I tell the kids all the time, like, there's a reason. I don't go to Houston and Dallas and stuff like that. I don't do that for me, to be away from my family. I don't do that. Like, everything I do is always to help you get better as a human first and then to see if, you know, you might catch somebody's eye. Mm-hmm. So it really sucks. You know, it's tough, especially when you see those kids they poured everything into for, you know, 35 games, 40 games, and then to see the sadness and the hurt on their face, that's what gets you, you know. Well, that's what gets me because, like I said, I don't do this for me. Yeah. There's nothing in this for me. Like, if I go to state, I'm not getting a raise. You know, I'm not getting a bonus, nothing like that. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, I try to form relationships with those kids. You know, some are closer than others, but, you know, I just try to get to know them as kids, you know, because, you know, I get on them pretty tough. So you can't be, you know, hard on them 24/7 or whatever else and then never talk to them as just like kids.
A balance.
Yeah. Right. So and I think, you know, I think that's also what gets me is like the relationships I have, especially when you're a senior. And I know this is your last game that you're going to play in high school.
That's a tough. You know, that's a tough.
Some of them, like, you're not going to play basketball for a school anymore. This was your last chance, so I just let you down.
Yeah.
Now, the first state tournament we went to, the finals game, we lost to Cy Falls. You know, it's that Saturday, beginning of spring break. Well, yes, that first one, it took me until probably Thursday or Friday to get over that.
Yeah.
Because, you know,
especially on spring break, you ain't got nothing to do but think.
Right, you know, we probably should have won that one. You know what I'm saying? For sure, that one.
But when Tristan was on the team?
Yeah, but me being a perfectionist, I'm like, man, you know, I didn't do this right or whatever. It's like my assistant at the time, he had to tell me to go. Because, like, after the game, we got there, and I was just sitting in the office with my head down, between my legs, you know, whatever. And he's like, Coach, go home.
Yeah.
He's like, there ain't nothing you can do. Like, go home to your kids. And so, you know, I went home, but it was tough.
You know, thinking back 5-10 years ago, do you feel like you're a better coach now than you were then?
I think so. You know, I fought so hard to not change who I was and how I coached. And then once, you know, it got to a point to where, well, it's not really working exactly the same, you know, and it goes from year to year how I can coach the kids. It's not exactly the same. Like this year, I think, you know, after that first district game, I changed my approach to the guys. You know, I changed my approach to where, you know, I my assistants, my wife, they all told me, you know, those kids are feeding off of you and how you react to things.
No doubt.
And once I changed that, you know, with this certain group that I had, and just started coaching and telling them, hey, move on to the next play, it's okay, they got a little bit more comfortable, you know, and we won a lot of close games, and I think it has something to do with that, you know, like they gelled together a little better, you know, when we had, like I said, all those injuries, so they learned how to fight through the adversity and knowing that, hey, if we all are on the same page and do this, we can win, so.
And I found myself over the last few years having to adjust my approach, you know, to the kids
in a
way that, you know, you still hold them accountable, but maybe you don't have to be like we were. Now, the old guys will come back like, coach, hey, you got a little soft there. I was like, no, I'm.
Yes, every one of them tell me that. Everyone that comes back, coach, you soft now. Like, no, I'm not soft.
We just got to adjust. Adapting. Yeah.
Like, they can't take what you took, you know. Like, they don't even run. Like, well, because I don't want to get more pissed off because they want to quit and say how tired they are. They go to the trash can and fake puke, you know. Yeah. Like, so, yeah, like, it's a different time. And, you know, I haven't been coaching that long, but just from when we started the school, 05, 06, I don't even have to go back that far. 2020, when I had Journey and, you know, Braylon and all those
pre-COVID
guys, Jay Sean, right.
Yeah.
From then to now.
Big difference.
Oh, it's crazy. It's crazy. Like, they are not like the tough, rough kids that I used to have that, you know, if I got onto them and said something, they would get mad, but then go play hard.
Yeah.
You know, now it's more of like, if you do it, sometimes they shut down because, you know, I'm a bit much, you know.
I mean, so, I feel you 100% on that. Trust me, I do. You know, and you can't be so closed-minded, you know, like my assistant coach, like I said, he's brand new, first year in the game. And now this is my 10th year at the school I'm at. And it was like, you know what? Maybe some of these guys I do got to probably tone it down a little bit, you know, and they'll respond better. And they did. They do. All right. What's more important, right? You being right and always being a certain way or right. adjusting to how whatever pulls the best out of the kids. And so a first year guy gave me a little advice, and you can't be so bullheaded to not listen sometimes.
And it took me a while. Like I said, 21 and 22, you know, I tried to be the same as when I was with Journey and all those guys, but it just wasn't the same, you know. Like with this group, I think part of my issue is I know what they are capable of.
Yep.
They just haven't done it yet. You know, they've taken big strides. You know, they've improved and got closer to what I'm expecting out of what I see for them in the long run. But, you know, I'm just one of them impatient guys. And when they're not getting it done, you know, I would get so crazy. But then, you know, talking to, like I said, just other coaches, my athletic director, you know, they just gave me tips and pointers, you know, because this year we were going through some stuff. And I, you know, I called college guys, I called all kinds of people trying to figure out, you know, if I'm doing this wrong, whatever else. They said, no, he said, you know, we're having the same issue. Guys that, you know, can't get on them too hard, or they'll transfer, they, you know, they don't want to play hard. I'm like, well, most of mine ain't going to college, you know, at least not on the levels that I call. So, like, if they're dealing with it, then I have to change something.
Adjust.
And, you know, it's just like, people ask me, you know, why we don't press and stuff anymore. Why I don't have the same personnel.
Yeah.
You know, as they get older, maybe I might start doing a little bit more because they're, you know, they get more involved and they understand and they can handle the physicality and the speed.
And playing through when you're tired, when you play that style, you're going to wear yourself out and you still got to be effective.
Right.
And if you're going to shut down when you're tired, then we can't do this.
Yep.
You can't play this way.
They shut down when they get tired, but then they won't tell me to take them out.
Yeah, no, that's everywhere in the world. Every sport, anything you can think of. Yeah. Men's league, even. Same thing. You know, I've seen, like I said, we've coached against each other for a while, been friends for a long time. I see your wife at all the games, and your brothers, the support. And how important is it to have that family support system, doing what you do and taking so much time?
My wife is the daughter of a coach. Hmm. He coached at Judson for, I think, 37 years. He was the head track coach over there. So she got to be the daughter of a coach, so she understands it. Mm-hmm. And I'm very lucky to have her because she understands that, Tuesday nights, sometimes, I might not be there because it's a school night for the kids, but she understands. So they asked if it's always live streamed, or something. Sometimes it is, sometimes it isn't. But I think when you're a coach, if you don't have a wife at home that supports the time that you want to put in, you're not at home. Oh, man. My schedule's crazy because, this past year, we went to Houston 5 times.
Oh, man.
Yeah. And she didn't go to all of them. And so for her to understand that, yes, this weekend, daddy's not going to be there. And she's holding down, those 2 little ones I got at the house and making sure, everything's good at home. And while having to explain to my 3-year-old why daddy's not there, it's rough on her.
For sure.
And if you can find somebody that, has your back that way and supports you that much, you're going to be able to excel in your coaching because they're proud of what you're doing. Even though she tried to give me a little bit too much advice, about how I should, handle some of the kids. And sometimes I listen, sometimes I don't. But that's just another thing too. She's involved
and invested,
and she'll have kids that she really, really likes, and she tries to take care of them a little more than the others. Say, well, no, he don't need that, but it's a good thing. And then, my brothers real close, they'll come to games, and this year was even better in the playoffs because I had family coming from out of town to the playoff game. So I think that is a huge thing if you're going to be a coach and if you want to stay in it for a long time. You have to have that support.
Yeah.
Your wife, you have to have a wife that understands and that will support you in it. Like, they need to go to the game. They need to be around. So then if they don't understand, they get a feeling, oh, wow, I didn't know you had to do all this stuff.
Yep.
But like I said, I got lucky because she already understood the stuff.
And your family, right, you get to coach your nephew. Not the first time you've coached one of your nephews, but,
no.
What's that feeling like? I know I'm coaching my nephew right now, and in the day, I just let him know it's all love. No matter what happens on the basketball court, outside of this, I'm not going to love you any less.
Right.
Right? But what's it like for you coaching your nephew right now? He's pretty good, by the way.
Yeah, he's not bad.
You got a couple looks from some pretty good schools already as
just
a sophomore.
He's a sophomore. But it's fun, but it's stressful. And I went through it the first time with his brother, Deron. And Deron played JV as a freshman. Then I would just take him to tournaments. Well, we were in I think SAISD tournament, whatever else, and we're playing a game and we're down, 15, 20 points to a team that we shouldn't have been, but it is what it is. So I just put some of the guys I put him in just to throw him in. Well, he hits 11 points in 2 minutes and we're only down one with 2 minutes.
Yeah.
So the thing that I had to get used to, and this time it's not as bad because I already been through it, was kids talking and saying, well, you're only on varsity because he's your uncle.
Mm-hmm.
Well, no, it's because he just hit 11 points in 2 minutes.
He can play.
That's why.
Yeah.
None of you other guys did it. But that's I think that's probably the biggest thing about it, but it's great, especially to see him grow from freshman to graduate and then go to college and play,
Yeah.
It's a different kind of special. It's a different kind of proud when it's a family member.
For sure.
You know what I'm saying? And I'm pretty sure he would tell you, Trey probably gets yelled at more than anybody
mm-hmm.
because my expectation of what I know he can do is higher than some other kids. And when you're not doing it, well, you're going to get more. I won't get in as much trouble because, you know, you're my nephew.
My brother's too.
Yeah. And my brother, he's okay with it. So, yeah. You know, it's all right.
No, I love it. I love it. I love it. The power of sports, man. You know, and the relationship you build with kids. You know, talk to me about, you know, what you think the power of youth sports is.
I think you hit it right on the head. I think you have to have a relationship with kids, and because it's a trust thing.
Yeah.
Like you're demanding them, expecting them to do so much that I think if they don't trust and respect you as a man first, then I don't think that they'll do it for you.
For sure.
You know what I'm saying? They'll do it for their own selfish gains, you know, whatever else. But I don't think that they will take heed and listen to when, you know, after high school, are they going to go to social media and start talking trash about you? Or are they going to come back and be like, hey, coach, I appreciate it, whatever else, you know what I'm saying? And I have a lot of guys that, you know, they come back or they'll, you know, text me or they'll hit me on Facebook and stuff like that. And, you know, they love it because they have pride, you know, and they still want me to do good. Like some of them, they call me the GOAT. I'm like, well, I don't know about that. It's, I think that's the most important thing. You have to have some kind of relationship outside of basketball or whatever sports you're coaching with those kids if you're going to demand them to do that type stuff, you know. And I learned that stuff from my mom because she had a daycare, in-home daycare for years. So in the summer, we would have to be there, you know, helping her out with the kids and stuff like that. And one thing that she told me was that kids want discipline.
Mm-hmm.
They want it. You know, they're not going to like it. But when you give them discipline and you don't let them, you know, make them do the right things the right way, they want some kind of attention and they love it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like some kids will test you. So you, you know, yes, I'm going to get in trouble, but you're giving me attention.
For sure.
You know what I'm saying? So, you know, that stuck with me, you know, even with my kids, my own kids, and then in basketball, it rings true because, like I said, if you giving them the love, you know, it's not always bad, bad, bad. You also have to give them, you know, the, hey, I love you, you know, you did a great job. You have to do that stuff too, you know, joke around with them, you know, and they'll do what they can for you.
They'll run through a brick wall for you.
Yeah.
You know, I think it's important. I think it's got to be genuine and real.
Yes.
Because those kids will see right through you. So yep. If you're not being honest with them and genuine with them, they're not going to take to
they're
it.
They're not. Like you said, the kids can see through the BS.
Yeah.
They can see if you're fake or if you're real.
Yeah. Well, last one before we go. I'm not going to say how old you are, but we were just talking about it. But we'll let the gray and the beards do the talking for us. But, you know, some advice you'd give yourself just getting into the game, into the profession of coaching, what is something you would tell yourself?
I would tell myself to focus on the kids and block out outside noise. Because everybody's going to have an opinion of what you should be doing as a coach. You can't let anything bother you or make you different because everybody doesn't like or accept the way you coach or the offense you're running or the system you're running or whatever else. You have to, you know, have your own thing that you love and you're passionate about, and you just have to let that happen. Like, so that's what I would tell myself. Just do what you do, and you adjust according to the kids and not according to everybody that's outside of your program.
Yeah.
Because it's your program. You're going to run it how you're going to run it. You're never going to make everybody happy.
It's impossible.
Never going to make, you know. And don't worry about people in the stands telling you this and that. You're doing a good job because the proof's in the pudding. So okay. Just block all that stuff out and just be who you are.
That's great stuff, man. I appreciate your time, Rodney.
Thank you.
You know, it's always a pleasure. Like I said, it's nothing but love and respect. You know, when I see you, I know we haven't been in the same district for a minute, but
yeah.
You know, we still keep in touch, and so I appreciate you.
Thank you.
All right. Let's go check out these horses.
It's called Coaching in Action.